If we left off last week, there are really two different aspects of the sugya that are converging together in terms of lishma by tzitzis. One was the issue of, do you need tviya lishma? So that was a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, machlokes Rav Shem and Paskin. The other issue was, that doesn't appear at least explicitly in the Gemara, but the way Semesh Ram ran into the Gemara, was the issue whether you need the tliya sachutin lishma, whether the connecting of the strings to the bag, it has to be lishma. So according to Rashi, that was a given that everybody agreed to, and according to the Rambam, that nobody agreed to. So that was there were two different issues, not necessarily tali zebizah. So how does all of this play out for us, just in terms of lamaisa? So in terms of the machlekes in Rashi and the Rambam, as to whether there is this understood halacha that you have to connect the strings to the beged lishma, so Rashi learned that yes, and Rambam says clearly that not. So we explained a lot last week that this is really part of a general question. Was the Rambam's raya a good raya? What forced the Rambam to conclude that there's no din of tliya sachutin lishma was because the Rambam was bothered with the question, if so, if there would have been a din of tliya sachutin lishma, then why would we have needed a pasuk to disqualify goyim from doing the tliya sachutin? Because after all, it's inconceivable for a goy to do things lishma, and again, this is of course the Rambam's theory, that a goy can't do lishma, really, really, truly, honestly, can't do lishma, never, ever, ever. And the Rashi, and the Rosh, and other Rishonim, Warm, Rabbi Baruch, other Rishonim, once we're convinced that that premise is true, they were able to subscribe to this idea that, yes, you do require the Shema for Tliya Sachutin, and yes, in theory, a Goy could have even done that under certain circumstances, all of them Gaba, but other men, and Alpha Bichain, the Goy can't do it. So, the Machlekes, Avisharim, Rashi, and Rama, whether Tliya Sachutin has to be the Shema, is really part of a much, much greater, much, much bigger Machlekes. So how do we pass in Halacha in this Shaila? So Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, and we try to be machmir in the Shaila. I mean, why in the world would anybody want to do a Tliya Sachutin not Lishma? So of course we're going to try very, very hard to be machmir in the Shaila, but in the back of our minds, so we almost have the Rambam, you know, the Asyoch and the Rambam to fall back on, that maybe, at least according to the Rambam, the tzitzis would still be kosher. We spoke a little bit about this when we spoke about Tana making tzitzis, right? We mentioned this as well with the women, right? We spoke about Sefer Ganvach. We spoke about there was machlekes that we showed him whether a woman could tie the strings of the chutin onto the strings that it sits onto the beged. So we quoted that there was a three of machlekes. There was some Rishonim who said it's perfectly okay. And then there are other Rishonim who say it's no good for other reasons. Rabbi Natan said it's no good because of Chazar. Rabbi Natan said women can't tie tzitzis on. Why? Because of the exhaust across the world. Right? It's part of the whole picture of Ukshat Muksaftam. Should be a time extended to other mitzvahs. And the Maamar Rutenberg said the rate of time extension is not correct. Women still can't tie tzitzis. Why? Because it's a chesaron of what pasuk? B'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael. The same drush as B'nei Yisrael v'lo goyim. That was the Maamar Rutenberg's extension. So we said that there'll be an afkamin ladina between those two reasons. If you have a who, if you have a katan, tying tzitzis. So if you go down the root of Rabbein Tam, that Ukshat Muksaftam governs the tying of the tzitzis, that anyone is not a Bakshira, is not a Baksiva, so a Kotel is in a sense not a Bakshira, he's not having fillin, so he can't tie the tzitzis either. But if you go down the root of the Maharam in Rutenberg, that's just a chisar and a B'nai Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael, so a little Jewish boy, so well, B'nai Yisrael, that would be okay. So we said that even within the Machmirim, that women shouldn't be tying tzitzis, there was a further shaila where the Ketanim could try tzitzis. The only thing is, if a Kotel ties tzitzis, what do you have to be careful for? You better make sure to do what? To have a what? To have a girl over Gabov. And whatever you would have a cotton tight tzitzis without having a girl over Gabov, then you would really be treading on very, very dangerous waters. Why? Because if you're having a cotton tight tzitzis without having a girl over Gabov, then first of all, you're rejecting Rabbi Natan. And second of all, you're also holding back, you're falling back on who? You're falling back on the Rambam, because it's only the Rambam who says that you don't need Lishma for the Tliya Sachutin. So that we wouldn't want to do. So even though maybe we're going to be made to let the little boys tie tzitzis, maybe we'll be okay with that, have children, boys under bar mitzvah tie tzitzis, but to do without having a girl over the Gabbav, that's already a little bit too risky. Even though, again, according to the Rambam, that would be okay. So the bottom line is, in Shulchan Aruch, do we paskin that you need Tliya Sachutin? Well, we paskin absolute, definite, maybe. We're not sure what to do. But because it's a little bit of a sacred Dedina, that's where the Mishnah Bura falls back on the following Kula, if one can compound the Suffolk a little bit. So the Mishnah Bura has the following discussion. This is a throwback that we spoke about several Shiurim ago. Whenever we require Lishma, whether it's for the baking of matzahs, whether it's writing of the get, whether it's sefer Torah, whatever you think Lishma means, whenever you think Lishma is required, there's a machlekes to be shown him, whether Lishma has to be verbalized, whether Lishma just has to be thought out. Who was the Rishon? This is good chazar for us, guys. Who is the Rishon who is specific about this? Rabbeinu Baruch. Mistabach Rabbeinu Baruch. Why did Rabbeinu Baruch think that maybe it has to be Dafka Dibur? What was his Raya? Like what? Like Pigul. And we weren't even sure that was right. That was Machlekes Rishonim, but the Pigul requires Dibur. So Rabbeinu Baruch got us on this whole Mahalach that you require Dibur to create Lishma, and others were not so sure. That other Rishonim said it's not necessarily true. There is a Zabriska Rav. The Brisker Rav comments on his words in his Chiddush with the Rambam that if you look carefully, sometimes Lishma requires Dibur and sometimes Lishma doesn't require Dibur. He has a diuk from some Rishonim when it comes to Hilchos Ksivas Sefer Torah. We mentioned that when you write a Sefer Torah, so you have to write Sefer Torah L'shem Kiddush Sefer Torah, and then each time you get to Hashem Hashem, you have to be Mekadosh at L'shem Kiddush Hashem as well. So whether, if I'm not mistaken, Tor, when he quotes the dinim of writing a Sefer Torah, so he writes that the Ksivas Sefer Torah itself has to be written Lishma, and you have to verbalize Lishma. When it comes to the Askara, so that it's not necessarily to verbalize Lishma. As long as you know that it's Sefer, that it's Lishma, as long as you're thinking Lishma, that's good enough. You want to tell me that all Lishma requires Dibur, good. You want to tell me that all Lishma doesn't require good, either one. But how can you split? How can you say that sometimes Lishma requires Dibur and sometimes not? So the Brisker Rav explains that if you look in the Lashon HaRambam, that there are different kinds of lishma. Sometimes there's a lishma, which is in a sense a positive din, that you have to endow something with kedusha. You have to endow an aspect of lishma, either kedusha or mitzvah, whatever it is. But as the mamash add, you have to add a dimension of lishma to it. And that's what the mamash makes Sefer Torah. It's not enough just to write a Sefer Torah, not enough to know that I'm writing a Sefer Torah. You have to halachically endow with kedusha Sefer Torah. So there's a maisa makadish. Part of the davra makadish is the machshavas lishma. So for there, the rishonim hold that it has to be dibur. That's not davar mishuvalev. That doesn't do the trick. But when it comes to writing the Shem Hashem, who didn't have to be makadish as Hashem? What kind of halacha is that? So the Brisker Rav points out in Lashon HaRambam that you have to be cognizant that you're writing a Shem Hashem, not writing something else. Means it's not a positive din if the Mekadosh L'Shem Hashem. L'Shem Hashem is Kadosh V'Mela. The Sefer Torah was already written L'Shem Kadosh Sefer Torah. It's just that one of the dinim that governs Shem Hashem is that it has to be written with the awareness that it's Shem Hashem. It doesn't have to be a positive Mekadosh L'Shem Hashem. You're not adding a dimension to it. It has to be written mitoch awareness. That's why the Rambam writes that, let's say, if somebody doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he writes the Shem Hashem, so there's no Kedusha to the Shem Hashem. Nothing happens to it. It's not in his Kaddish Bechlal. Why? Because Choshe B'libush is a Dvarm Shel Chol. If he thinks what he's writing is just four letters, he doesn't even realize it's this, he doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then that's not a cognizance of the Shem Hashem. Like the Gemara Gittin describes, a guy who thought he's writing the word Yehuda, and by mistake he left out the Dal and he wrote the Shem Hashem. So that's not Bechlal. Why? He thought he's writing the name Yehuda, and he knows he's writing the Shem Hashem. So those are all examples of a lack of awareness that you're writing a Shem Hashem. So that din, that a Shem Hashem has to be written with an awareness, we state that awareness has to be the dibur. Awareness means belayed. As long as you're aware that you're writing a Shem Hashem, that's good enough. So sometimes the din is that the Shema is an endowing with a positive quality, and sometimes all the Shema is just the cognizance of what you're doing is X, Y, and Z, such as like Sivus Hashem. But again, getting back to the story, but in terms of mitzvahs and kedusha and dvarim that need an endowment of a kedusha or the Shema of Shem Hashem, so we paskin that we're not sure what the din is. We don't know, would it get that was thought lishma, not said lishma, would we let that go? Maybe not. Would matzah that was baked with a thought lishma, not with a said lishma, would we let that go? Maybe and maybe no. What about tzitzis? Would we let tzitzis that were made lishma, which a thought lishma, not said lishma, would let that go? Maybe and maybe no. We're not sure what the din is, because Rabbeinu Baruch himself was mesufak. But Rabbi Shavur says, now what if these two shailas combine together, converge together? A person connects the strings, he ties the strings, thinking lishma, but forgot to verbalize lishma. So now he comes to Gevalt, now what do I do? I spent 2 hours tying my tzitzis strings, and I was thinking lishma. Of course I was thinking lishma, but I didn't say lishma. So comes to Mishnah Berurah and says, he thinks you could be mekel. Why do you have a right to be mekel? Because you have a sveik sveika to rely on. What's the sveik sveika? Because first of all, one thought in Rabbeinu Baruch is that you don't even have, you never have to verbalize lishma. All you have to do is think lishma. So that's one thought to be mekel. And even in Tumtzalaymer, that the halacha requires that lishma has to be done with the pet. It's not enough to do the machshava. Who says that the strings have to be tied? Lishma, maybe who's right? Maybe the Rambam's right. Maybe we pass like the Rambam. Maybe there never was a din of insisting on the tying of the strings lishma. So the Mishabur is comfortable enough to invoke the principle of sveik sveika. We could be machshavi stitzis based on the principle of sveik sveika. that maybe the Rambam's right, that you don't even need Lishma in the first place. And even in terms of Leimar, that you require Lishma against the Rambam, like the other Rishon, you do require Lishma. Who says you require deep Lishma? Maybe that other Tzad, Rabbeinu Baruch, the other Tzad of the Rishon would be acceptable. So Rishon is willing to let you go, willing to let you get by with a Sveik Sveik. He's going to let you wear these tzitzis based on the principle of Sveik Sveik. It's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah is willing, he does this in other places also, he's willing to invoke the principle of Sveik Sveika in the realm of mitzvahs. Why does that sound so styling? We invoke the principle of Sveik Sveika in the realm of Aveiros. We invoke the principles that Ramon Chasnid applies it even to Hare. Sveik Sveika is a Gemara Subistav test that works for Dinam Deraisa. So why in the world would one think that we would have any hesitation about applying Sveik Sveika in the realm? So there is a Chavis Das, Sivis, who has a Chedish Gadol. He says that according to the Rambam sheet, the famous sheet of the Rambam, that in the Torah all sveikas are mutter. According to the Rambam, if you find a piece of meat on the floor and you're not sure, there's a 50-50 chance whether it's chaz or not, there's no way to tell. So the Rambam says, if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, he'd say, you're allowed to eat it. But the Torah never asked it sveikas. All sveikas are mutter in the Torah. Aye, the Mishnayis tell us, sveikas d'oraisa l'chumra. So the Nesivus right, the Rambam right, that's a chumra midirabbanan. The famous Rambam in the Hilchos Tumas Meis, and on a level of d'oraisa, all sveikas are mutter. And the Rashba, the Ran, many Rishonim disagree vehemently with this Rambam, but that's the famous sheet of the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, that all sveikas are mutter, so the Nesivus has a Chiddush Gadol. He writes that b'medim ha'memurim sveikas are mutter. That's only in the realm of Yisurim, but in the realm of mitzvahs, so sveikas are not mutter min ha'Torah. If you have a suffix, whether this is matzah or not, so then you can't be yotzei mitzvah matzah. You have a suffix whether this is filling a kosher, you can't be yotzei. You have a suffix whether this is lulav kosher, you can't be yotzei. My high, my nishnah. When it comes to a suffix chaz, it's okay, and a suffix lulav, it's not okay. What does that mean? So the receiver says, because the vort is that the Rambam sheet is, when the Rebbeinu Shalom gave the Torah, he gave it to us pederes vadai. The Rebbeinu Shalom speaks languages of vados. So he gives us halachas that are based on vados. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom said to us, don't eat chazir, what that means is, don't eat something that you know is chazir. The word chazir in Torah, if you look up halachapedia, it means, chazir means a piece of meat that is known with certainty beyond doubt as a piece of pig. That's the definition of chazir. If you don't know whether it's from a pig, maybe it is a pig, but it's not a pig, that's not halachli chazir. When the Torah says, don't wear shatnez, that means don't wear something that beyond the shadow of a doubt is shatnez. If it's a doubt that it's shatnez, so that's not the issur in the Torah. So the same is true, says the Nesivus, in the flip side. And the Rebbeinu Shalom says, take a lulav on sukkis. The Rebbeinu Shalom didn't say, take something that you think may be a lulav. Take something that's a lulav. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, put tefillin on your arm and on your head. Put tefillin on. Don't put something that you think is a half-baked. Maybe it's a 50% chance that it's a pair of tefillin. It has to be told as adults. All the Dini HaTorah are describing situations, scenarios of adults. There are sveikas that arise in the Torah, so you have to figure out what to do with them. So you have robes and chasafas and the klali HaTorah, what's doing, you have sveikas. But when it comes to the realm of mitzvahs and averas, so you have to do a mitzvah b'toras vaday, and you have to avoid a veiros that a b'toras vaday. Anytime there's anything in the middle, anything that's any suffix, that's not what the Torah was mitzvah. That's not what the Torah was talking about. So it comes out a very, very strange thing according to the Nesivus, that sveikas and mitzvahs essay are more chomer according to the Rambam than sveikas and los essays. Los essays are only midrabbanan. Sveikas and mitzvahs essay are problems minatar. So what does that have to do with us? So there's a famous mahalach that many acharonim have to try to explain why Sveik Sveik is mutter. Very, very strange din. Gemara Ksuba Stav Tes, the Gemara says Sveik Sveik is a mutter. And the Gemara never explains why. Why should that be? If Sveik is a rasa min haTorah, why Sveik Sveik is mutter? So there's a famous machlokes the Rambam and the Rashba about this. The Rashba has a different view. The Rashba says that every Sveik Sveik is a rove. What's the rove? There are four logical possibilities, and three out of the four are okay. So that's called, we call in our lingo, a blackboard rove. If you draw out all four possibilities on the chart, three out of the four point the heter. But the Rambam doesn't necessarily say that. So many acharonim write, the Peshua and the Megadim, the acharonim write that according to the Rambam, the reason why sveik sveik is mutter is because every sveik sveik is really a suffik darabon lekula. Why is that? Because the first suffik min haTorah is really mutter anyway, because the Rambam holds that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. So once we've identified suffik A, we've automatically knocked it down to a darabonon. Once we've identified suffix B, then it's suffix the bottom, the kula. So every sveik sveika is just a fancy, schmancy way of writing that it's a combination of the two klolim. Klal number one is that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. The klal number two is that sveik the bottom is the kula. So once you have both of those klolim, then mbeila, If those two klal are true, then the next klal is also true. Sveik sveik is mutter. That's a famous part from the Pirkei Avot, Pirkei Yeshua. If that's the case, then one could argue, that sveik sveik is a mutter. That's only when we would have applied the rule of sveik deraisa l'kula mideraisa. Let's say bechazer. Chazer, I minatir, I paskin, the first suffix is mutter. So then I can paskin midirabon, and the second suffix is mamish mutter. It's a sveik sveik l'kula. But if I can't get into the balance box, I can't get that first suffix to be mutter minatir. If I can't invoke the Shitas Rambam, Minuchas base to be mad for the first suffix, then I can't get the ball rolling. And I can't get to say that, well, I've identified, I don't have a deraisa, I only have a derabbanan, and now I have a suffix derabbanan kula. That's not going to work. That's invalid. So I have to get to that first point. So how do I get to that first point? So I have to invoke the Rambam. I have to say, all sveikas are mutamina Torah. But the Nesiva said that all sveikas are not mutamina Torah by mitzvah essay. So it'll come out a bizarre thing. That if you put together this Nesivus with this Rambam, this Achronim, it'll come out that Sveik Sveikas don't work by Mitzvah Sase. You could use Sveik Sveikas in Isurim, in Lavim, in Kores, and Earth, but you can't use Sveik Sveikas in Mitzvah Sase. So there are some who have such an idea. So this Mishnah Berurah clearly was not one of those. Because the Mishnah Berurah is invoking a principle called Sveik Sveik, and he does this many times, that we can use Sveik Sveikas to be Machshir Pir Tzitzis. If we're right, and this Shtipul Torah is right, then how dare you use Sveik Sveikas to be Machshir Tzitzis? So you can't be Machshir anything. Because the first suffix doesn't get off the ground. But Lamaisa, back to conventional wisdom, the Mishnah Berurah is making. So at the end of the day, the Mishnah Berurah says if you have tzitzis that were attached, lishma, kind of, maybe, efshir, possibly, 50% chance, because you'd have been machshav without dibur, so he's willing to look the other way and say you have a sveik sveika based on the Rambam Shita and the fact that tzitzis maybe don't require lishma altogether, maybe this is lishma, the tzitzis are okay. What about when it comes to a lack of tviya? What would anybody say if the Tviyas HaChutin were not Lishma? So we saw that there are some Rishonim who say that maybe that would be okay. There was some Rishonim who made Paskin like Rav. There was one Rishonim who quite possibly Paskin like Rav. Who was that? So Rashi. Rashi is the flip of the Rambam. Because Rashi says the Tliyas HaChutin for sure is Lishma, and the Tviya quite possibly doesn't have to be Lishma. Whereas everybody else said the other way around, that the Tliyas HaChutin maybe doesn't need Lishma altogether. The Tviya, didn't need the Tviya Lishma. Why didn't need the Tefillah Lishma? Because we definitely unequivocally paskin like Shmuel. So whether or not we unequivocally paskin like Shmuel depends on our sugya, depends on this alma, depends on the different sugyas about the milsa, all the pieces of the puzzle together. Not clear how we really paskin in terms of machlekes Rav and Shmuel. But lemaisa in Shulchan Aruch it's very clear. In Shulchan Aruch, the dissenting view Rashi is not even quoted, not even alluded to in Shulchan Aruch. It's beyond the question. We paskin halacha lemaisa. That Tviyas HaChutin has to be Lishma. That's a Din D'Oraisa. We would never ever be Mekel on Tviyas HaChutin. And therefore, since we're not going to be Mekel on Tviyas HaChutin, we're not going to be Mekel on just merely thinking Lishma without saying Lishma. We don't treat Tviyas HaChutin as being a Suffolk, really. We are really, really convinced. Rubu the Rishonim hold that it does require Lishma, so we're going to insist on that. And I don't think we're going to be able to willing to be Mekel too fast on that. So Tviyas HaChutin is an absolute. All tzitzis that are made today are done with the tviya being done lishma. Some of them are done with machine lishma. There are different ways of spinning. You can spin by hand, you can spin by machine. So this is part of an age-old question. It's not age-old, it's as old as machines were. It's the last 150 years or so about whenever a cheftish mitzvah, a davar shel mitzvah requires a lishma, does it have to be done mamish by avodas yad, or can it even be done by a machine? So the original machlokes was about matzahs. This was a machlokes back 150 years ago, whether the baking of matzahs for Pesach can be done by machine, assuming that you need matzahs baked lishma, which is again a whole other topic, not for now, hopefully for Chazara. But al atzad, that we paskin Shulchan Aruch that you need matzahs to be baked lishma, so paskin in Europe who didn't approve of the matzahs because of that. Others didn't approve of the machines because they thought there was chametz in them, because the old machines weren't very efficient. So there was a lot of dough would get stuck in the middle, and then they would just keep on throwing the same chametz back into the next batch of matzahs. So there were some posts which didn't like the machines for other reasons. But even if you can fix that up, like the more modern day machines, so much better than they were in the old days, so we're not so worried about chametz, there's still that issue in terms of lishma. So there were some poskim who didn't think that the machines are good enough for lishma, and many, many poskim were makel on that. So those who were makel on that would probably be makel on the tzitzis as well. It's pretty much the same shaila. We get a lot of people in machpet to use hand matzahs, a lot of people in machpet to use avodas yad tzitzis. So that's because of the insistence on lishma. When we speak about the tviyas achutin being lishma, the asiyas atzitzis, lichol lishma, So just how far back in the process are we talking? So the Lashon of the Gemara is Tevi'a Lishma. It always talks about the Lashon of Tevi'a Lishma. Tevi'a is not the first part of the process. There's a few other things that happen from when the wool is taken off the animal until it gets to the point of being spun into strings. So those earlier stages, do those also have to be Lishma? Is there any reason to believe that has to be Lishma? So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So the Ramah quotes different opinions about this. There are some Rishonim who took the Gemara Mamash Kipshuto, that the Gemara says, Ba'inan Tevi'a Lishma, so Tevi'a means Tevi'a. So it doesn't mean anything else. So all is there any no more? Tevi'a means Tevi'a Sachutin. And anything before that is too far back removed to insist on the Shema. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara uses the Lashon Tevi'a because the Gemara is trying to compare and contrast the view of Rav and Shmuel. The original discussion, the reason why the Gemara even stuck in the word Tevi'a here is because it's explaining Shmuel's Shita in contrast to Rav's Shita. So the Gemara is trying to highlight that Rav is so not into the Shema, he so doesn't insist on the Shema by the Asiyas Achutin, but even Tevi'a, which is really the last part of the making of the strings, that's the final touch on the strings before they're going to be put into the Beged, even that Rav holds doesn't have to be the Shema. And what does Shmuel say? So some Rishonim say Shmuel holds the entire Asiyah has to be the Shema, not just the Tevi'a Sachutin. So it's unclear in the Rishonim why the Gemara mentions Tevi'a. So does the Gemara mention Tevi'a as Tevi'a la'afugi in contrast to everything before, that even Shmuel, the biggest Machmir, doesn't insist on any earlier stages? Or does the Gemara mention Tevi'a to highlight just how lenient Rav is, that Rav is so makel, even at the Tevi'a? But according to Shmuel, we most of the Shem Paskin like, so that even the earlier stages would require the Shema. So the Ramah quotes this question about the stages of Niputz, the combing of the wool, the other thing, wool, other kinds of things that are done from when it comes off the animal until it becomes Mamash and Techutin. So there are different stages along the way, whether those things have to be done the Shema or not. Some are Machmer on that, and others are makel on that Shaila. So it's interesting, you have almost like a parallel between the making of the strings, where it's not clear where the line is of the Shema, and Matzahs. The exact same Shaila, that may be different because there we mentioned that some of the Rishonim say that the Shema only makes sense by Lisha, that's where the water is, and that's where the concept of Shmira makes sense. Whereas others say, no, it makes sense by Ketira, because that's when you have to, that's exactly what you're watching for, to make sure there's no water. So it's not an identical Shaila, but it's almost like a parallel Shaila, that the final, the Machmer Patish, of the matzah is the lisha of lisha slash rafia, whereas the earlier stages are not so clear to even need the shema altogether. And according to others, so by the parallel by tzitzis is also the tviya is the nakama patish of the making of the strings, and everything before it is also not so clear that it needs lishma. So again, it's not identical, but it's a similar type of an idea. So the Magen Avraham has a comment in uchas tzitzis. He throws a curveball at us in terms of a chumer uchas tzitzis. But the Magen Avraham says that there is another process in the making of tzitzis that also has to be done in the Shema, and it's even after the Tevi'a. What's after the Tevi'a? It's already made in strings. It's already strings. It's going right into the Beged. That's already the Tliya Sachutin. What is between the Tevi'a and the putting into the Beged? So he says, well, of course we know. There's another famous process. What's that? The Shazira, the twining of the strings together. Zakht the Magen Avraham means each string. If you take a look at your tzitzis, so each string is twined is made up of multiple strings twined together. So I don't mean the strings that are eventually tied together into knots. I mean each of the eight little things that are coming out of your sides, each one of them is twined up of smaller strings. So the Magen Avraham says the Shazira, that's of course has to be Lishma. That's after the Tevi'a. So that's, if you want to make a practice, that's like the Afiyah Samatas, I don't know whatever the parallel is. That for sure has to be done Lishma. How did the Magen Avraham know that the Shazira has to be Lishma? Where did that come from? So the Magen Avraham just put two and two together. He says, well, everybody knows you need Shazira. So if you need Shazira, and we pass it like Shmuel, that you need Asiyas Achutun Lishma, you want to be makel on the nipots and the combing on the other things that are done earlier in the stages and say that's too far back. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. But to say that once you already accept Shmuel Shita, which we do accept, Halacha, that Tevi has to be Lishma, so for sure the Shazira has to be Lishma as well. So that's a big, big jump. It's a big jump on two different levels. Because way number one, how do you know that you need Shazira altogether? And number two, how do you know that the Shazira really truly has to be Lishma? There's no mention in the Gemara of Shazira being Lishma. For that matter, there's no mention explicitly of Shazira altogether. So before we can discuss whether shazir, whether twining of the strings has to be lishma, we have to determine whether it's really necessary in the first place. So if you look in Talmud Bavli, and you look, you won't find any Gemara, at least explicitly it says. There's no Gemara Menachas in the Sugya that says, Tana Rabbana, Ninayin, that each string has to be twined together. But there is a Sifrei that says it. The Sifrei, the Tanoim, who wrote the Bedesh Halacha in Bamidbar and Devarim, said that Halacha of requiring Shazira is recorded. What's the source for Shazira? Well, it could be that Shazira is compared to Big Dikuhuna. Big Dikuhuna does need Mashazar. The Torah does describe it. There are certain similarities. Maybe they're Xavier Shavas. Maybe there are other drushes, other Makairas. But the Sifrei does speak about the necessity of Shazira. So most of the Rishonim quote the Sifrei Lahalacha, even though it doesn't appear in the Gemara. But every once in a while, the other things don't appear in the Gemara. So we don't have any Gemara that says for Keret. So there's no Gemara that says it's not necessary. So most of the Rishonim quote the Sifrei Lahalacha and assume that for some reason the Gemara didn't speak about it explicitly, but the din still exists on the level of their eyes. That's what most of the Rishonim say. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes that if you want to be shozi as titzis, you could do so, but you're not mechuyev to, says the Rambam. No, you're not obligated to. There's no requirement to do shazira on your titzis. So the Rishonim was startled with this Rambam. The Rambam and other Rishonim were very startled with this Rambam. So again, it's a beferish of Sifrei. So they sent the shalat to the Rambam. Chachmi Lunil, those Rishonim who live in Provence, who were studying the Rambam's works, they sent some letters to the Rambam. This is one of the letters that they sent to the Rambam. And they asked him for a response. So they asked the Rambam, Yomadeina Rabbeinu, it says in the Sifrei that you have to be shozi tzitzis. So what's going on? How come you wrote that you don't have to? So what did the Rambam respond? Can I put that in my comments? No? What does the Rambam write? V'chachmi l'nil hikshel rabbeinu ma'ed esefrei v'heishiv lehem zeh shalom shazurim v'mishkan rabbi shimini d'stam sefrei rabbi shimin v'lefish l'matzas yishum adem shiom adav hazeh lo kasavti kemoisei. What does the Ram say? He says, you're right, it says in the sefrei, but what? But he said, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. So you tell me it doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara forgot to talk about it. No, the Gemara doesn't talk about it. Oh, hey, it's not true, l'alocha. It was a das yochid. Not every single line that the Heli Gatar of Shiva Yochai, the Heli of Shiva Yochai, we don't follow every single thing he said. So unless the Gemara quotes it and it's discussed, the other Tanoim, the Amoraim, it's part of the regular Pesach Halacha, we're not going to pass it a shah just based on some random Sifrei. That was the Rambam's response to the Chach Milunu. Then the Rambam is trying to support himself, and he says, and Sheim Kain, and if Rabbi Shimon's right, that you learn it out from the Mishkan, you Shazur and Shishik and Mishkan. Then you should have to do it the same way in the Mishkan. It wasn't just to take two little strings together. You had to have Mashzar, six times off, eight times off, a couple Shisha, a couple Shmona, whatever the numbers are. So that nobody ever said. So therefore, you see that's not true the Halacha. So later, Achronim pointed out, they don't understand what the Kasha the Rambam was. The Maaseh Rabbi Shimon learned it out from Mishkan. That's the truth. So what was Rabbi Shimon's Shita? Did he say that you have to have times six, times eight, or two is enough? We're not sure what Rabbi Shimon said. Whatever Rabbi Shimon said, that's what we should say also. So the Rambam... Ram, it's a strange kash, and Ram saying, it can't be a right drasha. It can't be that drasha of Mishkan can't be right, because if so, it would lead to the absurd conclusion that you need six or eight times twined over. So either the answer is, maybe in Ochinami you do, or the answer is, no, you don't. As long as you have a little bit of shazira, that's good enough. So it's not clear exactly what the Ram meant with that kash. And then the Ram says, I don't have any other source about this topic. There's one random line. The Ram was fully aware of this Sifrei. It's one random line of the Sifrei. The Ram says, we don't pass like it lahalocha. So the Nesek Kalim and the Rambam point out that it's not just the Sifrei. There is a Gemara about it. Not explicitly. Not in the Sugya of Menachos that had Mitzitzis, but tucked away in the end of Maseches Erevin. The Gemara talks about if a person finds strings and he wants strings on the street, and he wants to know, are these made for Tzitzis? Are these not for Tzitzis? Are these kosher? Not sure. So the Gemara says, if you find Shazurin, if they're all twined together, oh, then they're most probably considered to be tzitzis. So who else? For the meshuga, there's twines of strings otherwise. So the big dekuna tzitzis. So unlike this big dekuna, it must be these strings were made for the purpose of tzitzis. It must be the fact that they're shazurin that shows that they're made into tzitzis. So that's what the Rishonim ask in the Rambam. The Gemara says it. The Gemara says, tamale, that you have to have shazurin and tzitzis. So what would the Rambam respond? One says it has to be. One says that's what they used to do. Maybe the Rambam also went shazura. I don't know whether the Rambam shazura or not. It's a nice meaning. It's a nice thing. Reminds you of the Mishkan, big dikhun. I don't know. The Maisa, the people did it. So the Gemara never says you have to. The Gemara meant you have to. The Gemara should have said it. The favor should have been Menachas. Tanu Rabbanan, Menahan Emili, Mike Kuro. What's the Mocha? Need shazura. So at the end of the day, the only source that requires shazurin in Chazal is this afraid that we don't pass by claims in Rambam. The Gemara, the only Gemara that says a half-baked line about shazurin is a line that doesn't say anything. I'm not even sure what it said. It doesn't say you need it, maybe it just says they used to do it. So at the end of the day, the Rambam sticks to his position, says, Lamotzana l'chavir, nobody else held like Rabbi Shimon b'Yochanan. This one, it's not necessary. So Lamai said we don't pass by like this Rambam. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam is not accepted. Most of the Rishonim say you do need shazurin, and therefore our tzitzis are always shazurin. We have a minute, Yashazur attack a kafel shmeina. If you look when you buy piratitas, it'll say on them kafel shmeina. That means each string is made up of eight little tiny strings. So that's like to be like the Mishkan. So like the Ram's Kasha, that's exactly what we do. So at the end of the day, we do insist on having Shazira. So now the Magen Avraham's back in business, because the Magen Avraham said, we who reject the Shita Rambam, who say you have to have Shazira, Minat Torah, it's absolutely necessary, but the Mishkan, the Kudam Rebbe Mokar is. So then, the Magen Avraham is right, it should have to be done, l'shma. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure about this. The Mishnah Berurah takes a step back in this, it's a long be'alocha. I put it on the Rambam Kremis. The be'alocha takes a step back and he says, even though I'm not falling back in the Rambam sheet, I really think you need Shazira. And I think the Magen Avraham is right, that if you need Shazira, then put two into the gate, you need Shazira l'shma. But I'm not sure you really truly need Shazira l'shma, for the following reason, says the be'alocha. He says, think about it, what the process of making tzitzis is. So a guy takes his wool, and maybe he's machmir with the nipot l'shma, maybe not, but the tevil l'shma for sure he did. So he gets up and he says, I'm doing this l'shma l'shem tzitzis. I'm preparing these strings l'shem tzitzis. And he sits on his spinning wheel there. Put that finger on the spoon. There you go. Okay. So he's standing there, just waking the guys up a little bit. I don't know what I'm talking about. What? That's right. Okay. No, Dr. Berman. Sleeping Beauty. When I think of a spinning wheel, that's the only image I have in my mind. Okay, I'm sorry. No, it's old enough, but before your time, though. Okay. Sorry for the regression. Back to Habakkuk as well. So the person spinning his wool, he's doing the shmal, finish the show. Okay, then takes a little snack. I got thirsty, gets a drink. Then he goes back and he's reading his tzitzis making manual. Oh, Shazira time. And he starts to twine the strings together, just carelessly forgetting to do what? So Shai, he forgot the L'shai Michos, he forgot to say L'shai Mitzvah, he forgot to think about the Anaya. Says the Shemur, no, not to the end of the world. Why is it not to the end of the world? But after all, he did do the Tevil Lishma, so maybe we can invoke the following principle in Allah called, Kol HaWat, Kol HaOiseh, Adas V'Shenu Oiseh. A person is doing multiple tasks, so the first task he did Lishma, and the second task, he was half asleep. So we can assume it was just a continuation of the previous machshava. He had in mind 20 minutes ago, so that machshava is chal. It continues, even though what he's doing is the next action. So Mishnah Berurah is fairly comfortable invoking that principle called Oisel Das Rishonu Oisel. How did the Mishnah Berurah know? Where did he get this from? So there's a Beferish Gemara, beginning Masechet Zevachim. The Gemara Masechet Zevachim talks about all the machshavas that have to be done in the Shema. Remember all those? We spoke a lot about this, right? All the lishmas and the shalosh lishmas, all the bad things. So the Gemara in Maseches Vachim, Maseches Pesachim, talks about the principle of kol osa das rishonu osa by kabanos. Let's say if a guy does shechita and he did shechita with the right intention, and then when it came to Kabbalah, he didn't do anything. He says, no, nishkefelach kol osa das rishonu osa. The Gemara is willing to say you go from shechita to Kabbalah to zrika, halach to zrika. So it's kol osa das rishonu osa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Madach in Kodshim, which is much more common, Kodshim, Kabbalas, and we're still in Zvachim Dabbeh, who wants to invoke Kol Osa Das Rishonu Osa. We could say the same thing. The Gemara has it on Gittin also a little bit. The Gemara at the beginning of Gittin talks about if a guy wrote the first line to get Lishma, and then he took a walk, comes back, forgot to say Lishma. It's all part of the same basic maisa. Even though it's two different pe'ulos, that's okay. Mishabu is willing to say that in theory, we don't follow the Rambam. We don't need, if in practice, we don't follow the Rambam. We insist on each Shazira. And the Magen Avraham, Be'ikaron, fundamental correct, it has to be done the Shema. But the mice, you probably end up having been done the Shema because you did the Tefillah Shema, so Kol Osa Das V'Shonu Osa. Even though it's a different process, it's an hour later, Kol Osa Das V'Shonu Osa. The only thing is, says the Mishnah Berurah, if that's the case, that my Kula is based on Kol Osa Das V'Shonu Osa, then I'm going to put the brakes on that Kula. The Gemara says, in Maseches Vachim, B'med Devar Mamurim, that Kol Osa Das V'Shonu Osa, that's all true if what? What's the absolute condition? It's the same guy. What if you got like an assembly line here? So we got this one guy, he's a really, really good tovet. Another guy's a really good shozer. And the other guy's really good at putting the strings in. So we got multiple pairs of tzitzis being done. Mamash down the assembly line. So just because the guy 20 minutes ago who did the tviya did it lishma, but the guy who's doing the shazira was not the oisa. He's not the aldasa rishay. He's a different person, different gavra. So also that's Shoshana also makes sense if it's the same gavra with a different pa'ula. But if it's a different gavra, the gavra's the beferish. That's ridiculous. That's not called oisel, that's Shoshana oisel. So Mishnah Berurah puts the brakes on his kula. He says that yes, it's true. The Magen Avraham should be listened to. You should try to do Shazir Lishma. But if you didn't really truly do Lishma, no. You can rely on your previous machshav, your previous pa'ula. But, the Medrash Amurim, that's only true if you're the same guy who did the Tviya, you're the guy who did the Shazira, then it's okay. Could one have gone down the route of the Mishnah Berurah with a little bit of a different twist, a little bit of a different kunz, slightly different kunz, come up with the same almost conclusion, and even a little bit more encompassing than the Mishnah Berurah himself? That yes, I need Shazira. Yeah, I need Shazir Lishma, but Lamais, as long as the tefillah was done, the Shema, that's going to save you. And not be forced to invoke Kol Osa Das V'Shonu Osa. Well, could somebody come up with the idea of saying Stam L'Shema? What does it mean? So we already learned. Stam L'Shema is a real thing. It really works. It works for the Torah. We had it by where? No, Chazal, we had it in Gittin, in Zvachim, the Beis, and the Beis. But Kabbanis, Rashi had it in the Testament, off the Gemara. Almost had it by Gittin, and then the Gemara, backed out in Zvachim Da Beis. Said it's not true because Stam Ishas Lav L'Kerish in Kaima. But the principle of Stam L'Shma is a Din D'Oraisa with Briska Rubs, with Maiselach, with all the Torahs that we spoke about Be'arichos this last couple of weeks. So could one argue as follows, that Stam L'Shma is almost like fluctuates a little bit, that something could not necessarily be Stam L'Shma unless something preceded it, namely. When a guy is just twining strings, is that a stumble of Shema being done for tzitzis per se? I don't know. Maybe the one here says, but I don't know. Stam, see a guy twining strings, left off because making tzitzis. So just to say stumble of Shema by twining is probably a little bit of a stretch. But what could you say? If the strings were already what? They were already knit for the Shema. Strings that were already knit for the Shema, and now you're doing Shazir on them. So maybe that's called Stam L'Shma. Stam L'Shma could fluctuate. A particular pa'ula could be Stam L'Shma depending on context. If something else preceded it, that could create the status of Stam L'Shma. If that would be the case, that Shazira post the Tviya would be Stam L'Shma, that would have the same effect as the Mishnah Berurah, but even what? Even more, even further, because the Mishnah Berurah pulled back and put the brakes on and said, if Reuven did the Tviya and Shimon did the Shazira, he's not willing to be Mekel, according to what we're suggesting, so then it would still be okay, because you're not falling back on the principle of Kala Osa Das Rishon Osa, you're falling back on the new principle called Stam L'Shma. So again, maybe, if the Mishnah Berurah himself didn't say that, there's one line in the middle of the Mishnah Berurah that sounds like he almost said it. If you read the Be'er Halacha very carefully, there was one point here, he almost was willing to say that. Stam L'Shma. He says, after Stam Chut and Lav L'Shem Tzitzis Asuyin, Hech the Tavim Mitchila Beferish L'Shma and Suav Estam Shazira Gamken L'Shma. He says it, he uses that Lashem, but then he immediately switches back to his theory of Dasa, Rishon Hu Oysa. So the Maaseh Mishpat didn't really say it. He sounded like he was saying it, but he didn't say it really. But maybe one could argue that way. So anyway, we're all the dust was on my side. So when it comes to the making of tzitzis, what has to be the Shema, what doesn't have to be the Shema. So the connecting of the strings was Machlokes the Rambam and other Rishonim, which revolved around what Rav did or didn't say. And when it comes to that, so we treat that as like a shtickel spake to the dina, we're going to be makel a little bit with other possible spakes, and baruch, etc. When it comes to the tefillas achutim, we don't even treat that as a suffix, even though there is a lone sheet of Rashi that says it's okay, but we don't really hold that way at all. So tefillah we're not going to be makel on. Whether we insist that pre-tviyah is also included, that's a machlokes in Rishonim. Whether we insist that post-tviyah, namely Shazira, according to the Rambam, it's a moot point. The Rambam says you don't need Shazira altogether, but according to most Rishonim, say you do need Shazira, so it becomes a relevant point. And again, whether or not we could be a little bit more makel depends on maybe Mishnah Berurah, Asvara, possibly to tone down a little bit the requirement of Shazira. Okay?
Why would that Stam and Shmuel work through people? How does the second person know about the first?
So that depends what Stam L'Shma means. If you hold that Stam L'Shma means that the Chefza somehow talks for itself, like that Briska Rav, so then maybe that'll work. It doesn't matter what you're saying, it doesn't matter. So you gotta be good karma. I mean, karma is not probably the best idea, but all right. Okay, good. Any last questions on the sugyas? Any last questions on anything else? Okay, but just a little bit more.